This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 278 of the Countdown Podcast. Everyone, place your hand lovingly on your own genitals and get ready for more ridiculous movie talk. My name is Wayne.
The key word there, lovingly. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today, we're returning to a fan favorite format in time to help out our brethren, our listeners in the eastern states, particularly Victoria of Australia and the other areas of the world which are back in lockdown.
Backslash still in lockdown, yep, yes.
That's the name. Top 10, last 10, back in a lockdown edition. So where we count down 10 of the recent films that we've seen and put them from worst to best. So we tell you what to steer clear of as well as what to chase while you're in lockdown.
That's
anything,
right.
If
that's
you're not
right.
in lockdown, still should check out.
Yes.
That's the plan.
Hopefully not soon. Good.
For today, yeah. And who knows how long it will be before the rest of us are also in similar
now,
kind of
circumstances. Now, don't do that, Paul. Don't start shit off after I just played it off wickedly. Don't be all like bringing brothers down. We'll be fine, everyone. Just let's keep it real.
Right. Do what you're told. Follow government directions. We have a chance. Don't go out if you don't need to. If you're in a part of the world where there's community transmission,
they
that's
know,
it. That's our
know.
Political message
they
for the day.
Know.
Hooray! Let's get into the episode proper with the segment of the week called the recap.
Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
After Debbie Downer's public service message, the recount is something that it's our mail room. What do we get, Paul?
Yeah, we got a bit of mail. What we need to do is sort out the competition that we ran a couple of weeks
yes.
back.
Yes.
Right, so we asked for anyone who put in a new review, mm-hmm. give you a countdown prize pack, t-shirt of your choosing, mug of your type of choice.
Right.
And we will send it to you. So we got 7 new reviews. I want to thank the following people for doing so. Sam listening in Sydney. Dan is not the problem. Lachlan M, I think might be Lachlan Mills, regular listener to the show. Paulie D287, Darren Clark 5, and Rags 086. Oh, and sorry. Journey to Me. So there's the people. So that's 1 to 7. I'll just
Thanks,
make
kids.
Sure I can count. So here we go. I've got a random number generator here from 1 to 7. Here we go. Pressing the button. Drum roll now.
You know what I'm saying?
So much better than the soundboard.
Right.
Number 4, and reading back down the numbers, that is Paulie D287. You are the victor of a countdown prize.
Paulie D!
So hopefully you know how to get in touch with us. Check out, send us an email or hit us up in the Facebook community if you are there, and we will fix you up. Thank you so much for the reviews.
Nice
now,
one.
We're going to run another competition at the end, which we'll talk about at the end of the show. So stick around if you want to win some merch. The only other thing to really take care of is the results of last week's poll.
I.e. the way I got fingered.
Finally, after a month of Wayne winning everything in sight, beating to a pulp everybody who he took on, other than maybe Sam might have won the New Zealand film.
I do believe he won, yes.
That's the only person who's been able to take Wayne to the cleaners. I certainly haven't. It's been pick on Paul month and...
Until now.
Finally, the scores won out over the soundtracks and the top 10 original music themes with thanks to top level patron David Powell. 20 votes to Wayne, 63 to moi. Hooray, 11, you are still winning on the year to my 10. And
but I thought this was the dreaded month or week where I get less than 10. I was sitting there going, yeah, this
not
is not
close.
Looking good.
Not even close.
Did I even break 20 though? I don't think I did.
20. 20 is double 10, man, so you're all good there.
Okay.
Some of the comments from the listeners. Blake Jarvis said, when Paul primarily chose scores, I was leaning towards Paul. When Paul picked Williams, Zimmer and Junkie XL, Paul was looking strong. When Wayne picked Pure Shores, it was definitely going to be Paul. But then Wayne bagged Zimmer's time. Well, it's going to be Paul. Vote for a long time.
There you are.
Joey DiCarlo, I was going to go Wayne because he had some awesome songs, but the placing of Star Wars and some of the songs being ass on ass, All Saints? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Led me to vote for Paul.
What's wrong with you people? You don't have ears and a heart? Anyway.
After reading the show notes, Luke James Human said, going in, I thought Paul's score heavy list would win me over, but then came Pan Flute. Part of the Braveheart score. Wayne, however, just kept upping his game, peaking at Live and Let Die, but already having sealed my vote with his inclusion of the transcendental Pure Shores by All Saints, who, in my opinion, are the thinking man's Spice Girls.
Yes! Who is this genius? Absolutely, my man.
Well done, Luke. You have just given Wayne
syndication.
I just wanted you to say, everyone, that I'm used to being berated for my taste in music. It's happened my whole life, and it's kind of my thing. So I knew that this one was like, not only is it Paul's birthday, and I'm not saying that's why you won, but I am saying that's why you won. Notes,
maybe.
And, you know, I don't expect it. I'm glad you all listened. Thank you.
Yes, that's it.
Thank you.
Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast. What the fuck is Wayne smoking?
Pure Shores.
And then finally, Connell McNeil said, neither of you having the Jurassic Park theme is a crime against humanity. Also, Wayne's list sucks. Vote for Paul.
I'm fine with that. All right.
So, 11, you will head into the break of Top 10 Last Things. We don't compare because we're not picking from the same type of films, unless it was a whole, hey, I watched everything under existence. Doesn't make any sense.
Didn't and won't.
No. So, having a break for the vote this week, but I'll be back the following week with next week's topic. That's it for the recount. Let's get into the episode proper on the other side of this music cue. Our Top 10 Last 10 Latest Edition. Top 10 Last 10, still in lockdown edition.
Dead sexy.
Well, back in lockdown edition.
Just stop saying lockdown, cunt. Lockdown. All right.
Is the topic of this week's countdown. As mentioned, we are now going to go through some of the recent films that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
No limitation on it, no joining theme other than we
just
have
talking
viewed
them, shit.
And we're going to give you some mini reviews of all of them. So, Wayne, take us away. What's the worst hunk of shit? Because they're always hunks of shit. There's always some
absolutely
hunks of shit. And I have to say, my list this week, pretty average.
Oh, mine is fucking Telstra.
It reflects 2020 perfectly.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Okay, so everyone, when you're making a top 10 last 10 list, you want to sometimes aim for a 10, okay? You're like, what's the biggest piece of shit I could possibly... and sometimes you succeed too well. In my case, I watched a film called The Very Excellent Mr. Dundee.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dude. Okay, so... Yeah, I know. All right, so basically, it's just what you think it is. Oh, sorry, it's not what I thought it was. It's about... It's a Crocodile Dundee movie, I thought. I thought maybe it's the fourth installment.
Yeah, which you'd heard nothing about.
The third one I know nothing about. But at least it might be amusing, because I remember liking the first one and the second one when I was a child. Okay, so
first one was a big hit?
It was a huge hit. Apparently the most successful independent film ever made.
To this day. Wow.
Yeah, so they say. Anyway, this movie is not about that. It's actually about Paul Hogan, who lives in California, and he's still into the ghost of the Crocodile Dundee character.
So like it's like that JCVD film.
It is, but nowhere near as good, because that movie's good. JCVD is a fucking good movie.
Average as fuck.
Well, anyway, all I can say is this is just as big a piece of shit as you think it will be. It's just him getting meetings and being like out of touch because he's an old man now, and they want to say, hey, we're going to do a new Crocodile Knee and Will Smith is going to play your son. And like he gets busted for saying, but he's black. You know, it's shit like that. It's that kind of movie. There is a whole bunch of cameos, though. I will tell you that. The cameos are Wayne Knight, so Newman from Seinfeld.
Yep.
John Cleese. Luke Hemsworth, if you can call it that. But the big one is probably Chevy Chase. And he actually plays sort of a couple scenes in this show and Olivia Newton-John and stuff like that. It is a piece of shit. All I can say is I know no one was going to see this movie. Keep not seeing it.
It's on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just a bag of shit.
Saw it there. Immediately skipped over it. Didn't even stop to watch the trailer.
It's there to make you scroll is what it is.
So you have a message for Paul Hogan. That is,
first, take a big step back. And literally, fuck your own face!
I understand that when you get to a certain age, you want to buy a new car.
Yeah.
So you do shit like this.
Or
if
you put the grandkids
through.
You know
what I'm saying? Exactly. How about we get that kid to
college,
run? Exactly.
Uni,
so
whatever.
Go ahead, bro, but no.
Just have some talent.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time since he's been in a movie, right?
Dude, I think he's like 80-something, right? And he's just, yeah, anyway. What are you going to do?
And I seem to recall, wasn't the most likable of people.
There's that rumor.
Yeah.
Well, he did leave his wife, Linda Kozlowski, I think, during the set. So, you know.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, my number 10 is just... Well, I don't know if it's just a bigger picture shit because I haven't seen that one. But I tell you what, this is disappointing beyond all belief.
Cover me in shit, Paul.
It's Scoob!
Oh, really?
Exclamation point. The 2020 direct-to-VOD release, which was coming to cinemas, animated Scooby-Doo relaunch.
I'm interested in this. What? You saw this, eh?
Tony Savoni directed this. And if you like what Scooby-Doo used to be, which is, you know, bunch Zoinks! Of friends with yeah. a yeah, Shaggy, of course, the ultimate stoner, and his dog who can talk because we're never quite sure whether or not.
Right, no.
Of course, he talks to everyone else. I'm not even going to try and
float that. No, Scoob talks.
Shaggy, Shaggy hallucination from all the drugs that he's on.
Oh, good point.
But he does talk to everybody else. So this is not that. This is not that group getting together, investigating something spooky or, you know.
Is there a mystery machine?
There is a mystery machine. Barely gets any light of day. Instead, it separates the two groups. So Shaggy and Scoobs go off on their own sort of side adventure and the other three kind of chasing them to keep up. And it ends up being, get this, a Hanna-Barbera kind of universe launch. And it brings in all these other side characters like Captain
Caveman! I don't like him, but I like that he's there and that you did that.
And a whole bunch of other
very
recognizable Hanna-Barbera. It's almost like a superhero movie. It's fucking garbage.
So they're starting a new Hanna-Barbera universe?
But I didn't tell anybody that.
No, I didn't know that. And I saw the poster for this thing. I was like, oh, I was mildly interested in that. So wait, is it shit?
It's terrible. The animation's okay, but it's just not funny.
But in the actual original Scooby-Doo, like, cartoons, right, it was often Shaggy and Scooby fucking off somewhere and the other people turning up in various capacities.
No, but they were always, generally
eventually
speaking,
they got back together.
They're all in the same mystery. Like, they're all involved. Might have split up to investigate different parts
No, this isn't that?
No, this is like they're literally...
Whole different things.
They're literally taken to a different area of the world.
This is an odd development. It's really?
Bizarre.
No, that shouldn't be like that at all.
And the first 5 or 10 minutes have a little bit of heart, thinking, oh, this might not be too bad, you know? And then, because it shows how they meet.
Oh, yeah.
The very first time.
Does it look good?
The animation's okay, but it's not anything amazing.
Okay, all right.
Totally deserves being dumped on VOD, and I was so disappointed. It's just garbage. Like, it didn't even occupy my 7-year-old's attention. She's like, eh.
Is it like CGI animation?
Yeah.
It is. And Captain Caveman's in there.
Yeah.
I don't suppose any of the Super Friends turned up.
No.
Okay, because that would be, yeah, okay. All right.
Just, there's a bunch, Mark Wahlberg plays some Falcon dude.
Of course he does.
Some character I've never seen before, ever.
Oh, wait, Falcon? The Falcon?
I don't know.
With a little, I love that character.
He's got like gold.
Yeah, has he got like a beak? Oh, wow, he's in that? I love that character.
Well, maybe you should watch it. Maybe you'll like it a lot more, but prepare yourself for completely unfunny, completely unengaging, and just really, really boring.
Wow. I've had too much of that this month. All right, cool.
That's my 10.
Nice
one. Scoop!
Nice one. Now, you know, I had this moment where I thought, you know what I might do? If I'm going to watch 10 movies, why don't I watch the Netflix top 10? But I've seen some of those and I saw a few of them and fuck me, this is one of them. My number 9 is The Wrong Missy.
Oh, boy.
Holy, have you seen it?
No.
Dude.
I listened to our friends Dan and Caleb on Netflix and Swill and I just went, nope, need to go there. As if I needed to go there before even listening to them because I know a stinker when I see it most of the time.
Mate, this one is like, okay, so basically David Spade, looking not like David Spade at all, is meets Molly Sims at a restaurant and he's jilted and that sort of thing and they get together and he also, way before that, has this date with the world's most annoying woman, all right? Long story short, he accidentally takes the world's most annoying woman to a company retreat in some different place when people could fly. And his ex-wife is Sarah Chalky. Because that makes sense.
Chalk.
And it's got like Rob Schneider and it's got like people in it that you like, other than David Spade, there's like no one. I'm looking at the list, there's no one here. There's a couple of folks you might know. But long story short, the woman in it is the most annoying. Now, it's her character to play the worst, most annoying person on the planet, but she succeeds too well, and I can't watch it. I actually had to watch it in shifts because I couldn't handle how fucked she was all the time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So when that's working against you, the whole movie cannot... There was like a couple of bits where there's like a cracked half a smile, maybe. I'll tell you about that. But it's one of those... I don't want to spoil the shit out of this because no one cares, right? It's one of those things where he brings the shit woman to the thing.
Well, you can tell the premise of the film without giving away the ending.
Well, long story short, he somehow falls in love with the shit woman.
Of course he does.
And Molly Sims turns up for him to be compared. And he rebuffs Molly Sims for the shit woman. So fuck this
crap.
It's
not at all believable.
This is crap.
So Wayne did give away the ending. There you are.
You're not going to watch this. This is a piece of shit. I'm telling you now, if somehow you get tricked into watching it, you'll remember that I said, run. So there. It's all I can tell you is it's shot in Hawaii and stuff, so it does look, it feels quite nice. I say that a lot. It's rainy here.
That's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. There's sunny scenes. Boom.
No, I'm not shocked at all, and therefore, totally agree. And I will never watch this movie. Never, ever.
Please.
Never.
Yeah, exactly. Take that 2 hours and spank it. I don't know anything.
Well, my number nine is the first film that I went back and saw in the cinema.
Oh.
Post-COVID, at least.
What was it? In our part of the world. You told me, I forgot what it was.
Yeah,
what?
And I had a choice. Mm. I had a choice between going to watch Alien on the big screen.
Yep, which I'm surprised you did not do, but I know that you've done that many times.
Genuinely was keen. Yep, thought I'll do that. And then I saw, out of the blue, this horror movie called Follow Me.
Being
released on the day that I'm going to the cinema. And I thought, well,
huge surprise.
I'll go to Gold Class, the exclusive lounge, and they block out all the seats around you because of COVID. So I had all the area to myself. And I'm like, this is great. It's like in the whole cinema, six people. Don't know if that's because they blocked out all the seats or if that's because everyone knew this would be a stinker. I couldn't find a single review for this film. I don't think it's been released anywhere else in the world except Australia.
What is it?
Basically, let me describe it to you like this.
Yeah, bring it.
You've seen The Game, right?
I have seen The Game, the Michael Douglas movie.
Yeah.
Great. David Fincher directed. Great fucking movie.
Michael Douglas, Sean Penn. We're both big fans of that movie from like 95 or something or other. This film is basically that film for the social media generation.
Okay. Well, see, now that in my head, that doesn't sound terrible. Keep going.
And basically, some dude has got some really successful YouTube channel where his whole job is to travel around and do extreme shit, you know, extreme real life or something the channel's called. And he takes, for his 10-year anniversary, he takes his girlfriend and his old best friend who hasn't seen for a bunch of years and a couple other associated hanger-oners, takes them to Moscow, where his friends have organized the most extreme escape room ever for him to do.
Okay.
Right? And set up by
all right.
This Russian businessman who, you know,
oligarch-looking dude. Yeah.
Amazingly handsome hunk of a man who's got everything, including, you know, this ridiculously hot woman on his arm.
Sure, sure.
Blah, blah, blah. They run afoul of a few gangsters and they're having a great night out at a local Moscow club. And then they go off to do the escape room and these two stories converge.
Uh-huh. I mean, it sounds not terrible so far, but go on.
The one good thing in this film is they resist the temptation to make it found footage. They resist the temptation to show you it's just all from his point of... Yep, I mean, it does switch to that.
Because they could have done that if it's a YouTube channel, right? Yeah.
They do switch to his point of view. He's filming, like his live channel, but not for extreme periods of time, whatever else.
Good move.
But they're all unlikable. Like, the girlfriend's meant to be the nicest character amongst a lot of them, but he's the main character, right? He's the protagonist. They set up this whole dichotomy of will he realize what's more important to him, the real people in his life or his channel?
Right?
And that had some, I thought, okay, that's got some legs. Mm. Drop it after one scene.
Really?
Never mentioned again.
Oh, man.
Then it just becomes this generic, straightforward horror slasher.
And you didn't like it.
Oh, it's terrible.
That means you
and
really.
It's so terrible. I knew the ending about 20 minutes into the film, and I was 100% right. So the entire way through this film, I was not affected one iota by what was going on.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You're well known for your enjoyment of Russian women. Eastern Bloc-ish kind of women. I don't know. What was she from? Who was she from?
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe. Okay, there you go. So, did that help you at all? No, nothing? Oh, no. That's a piece of shit then. That's a piece of
shit.
It's
a complete... It's so bad. Like, I'm so annoyed at myself I didn't go and watch Alien. So, if you've seen The Game, you've seen this fucking movie. That's all I'll say.
Is it like...
Don't bother.
But it's not even as interesting as The Game? Like, it's just, well, shit. Okay,
no, it's inferior in every way because you've got real actors with a real director versus this guy. The only other film this guy ever directed was a film called Escape Room. And you might be going, oh yeah, I saw that movie. That was pretty good at the start of last year.
Yeah.
Nope, wrong Escape Room. It's a lower budget piece of shit, way worse Escape Room. And then they give him a budget to go and make this movie, which I'm sure probably only cost $5 million to make. But I can't find any fucking details about it because it's not out anywhere else.
Ah.
So it's kind of like going to an advanced screening of a film and just going completely cold. I'll take the risk. And I got burned. Number nine burned. Follow Me.
Nice. Okay. Well, not nice. My number eight also is not nice.
There's a trend here.
Yeah. Again, on the Netflix many watched list is a movie called Desperados.
Ugh.
Fuck.
So you thought it was like two Antonio Banderas's banging Selma Hayek's?
Only for a second until I looked on the trailer and I'm like, okay. Basically, guys, this is about a panicked young woman. Now, on the annoying woman's character scale, this if the wrong Missy was a 10, this girl's about 7.6 is where she's at.
Right.
Exactly where she's at. Now, she is a frenetic, and she totally talks like this. That's the way she talks. It's fucking horrible, all right? And she meets this really nice guy, right? Who I believe, he looks a lot like Tom Cruise. He's one of those characters that looks like Tom Cruise. He's very good looking, right? They meet up. They have this great date. It's all wicked. She's, of course, a single woman who's like pining for having a boyfriend, whatever. And then he stops calling her for 5 days. So she gets together with her friends and sends the most nasty email, like, your dick is bad, you fucking this, and fucking your dad's a cunt, and all sorts of shit, right? Really, really bad shit. Yeah, it's a really long email. She goes, fuck you, and sends it to him, right? Then he calls like the next day, says, oh my God, I had this accident. I've been in a fucking ski accident. I'm in Mexico at the moment.
Oh God, this is fucking Road Trip.
It is. It is Road Trip.
Girl's version of Road Trip.
Exactly what it is. So then her and her friends fuck off to Mexico and try and save it. Now, Paulie, you once said Kate Capshaw's Willie Scott in the Indiana Jones show.
I said it last week, didn't I?
You said it last week. You find her extremely annoying.
Oh, I did.
This woman is her on speed. Like, it's just really... I was actually at one stage through this movie going, I'm going to play a game of annoying bitch chicken with myself and see how long I'm going to watch this before I turn it off. Now, I will tell you, there's one really funny scene in this, okay? And when I tell it to you, I know you and everyone out there is not going to think it's funny, but just try and be me for a second.
And yet Wayne will continue
with this bit. It was so unexpected it was funny, okay? She's on a boat with some dude and a dolphin like comes up. Oh my God, it's a dolphin. And the dolphin actually jumps sort of, she's sitting on the edge of a boat and it sort of jumps on her and sort of flips around and she's like giving it a hug and stuff, right? And the way the dolphin is like wriggling, it's like, what's it? It kind of looks like it's thrusting, but it's not. And then it goes back in the water. And then she goes, that dolphin was hugging me, right? And the dude who's watching it goes, I don't know if he was hugging you and you need a cigarette. He's making a joke. And as that happens behind her in the background, you see this dolphin jump out of the water in slow motion and the dolphin's dick just slaps her face and she goes, boom. And then it comes back down and it's like, holy shit. So there's a scene where a dolphin facials the chick and it was so unexpected. I went, what the fuck?
What the hell?
No. I know, everyone. I understand what you're thinking and feeling now and how you think about me. But it was so unexpected at the time. I went, holy shit. And then I started laughing. So I'm not saying watch this movie, but maybe if you see that, I don't know. Anyway, it's still number 8. Desperados.
It's moments like these shit. Where I no longer wonder why we haven't made it big.
By the way, Heather Graham's in this.
Right.
There you go. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well.
Okay, nice.
Dolphin dick slapping face to documentary about one of my favorite film franchises and certainly the film I just mentioned about Alien. It's called Memory, : The Origins of Alien from last year.
The fuck?
And it's directed by Alexandra O. Philippe. And it's fucking boring. It's so boring.
Sorry, is it about Alien?
Yeah.
The doco on the making what of Alien?
Yeah.
And it's shit?
Yep.
Why?
It's just garbage. It's so... Well, it's not garbage.
That you'd think just because of the subject matter you'd be putting that
exactly.
Up.
But it's... I don't know how it makes the first 45 minutes into such a snooze fest, but it does. Like, it literally opens with... Like, I guess they're tracing back through Prometheus and Ridley Scott, kind of the origins of the Alien when we go back down there.
Oh, it's
well, it touches on the other films. It's really just about Alien. And it does get into
this is a recent production.
Last year, yeah. And Ridley Scott's not on it. They're only taking footage of interviews from him from a long time ago. And the guy who wrote it, Dan O'Bannon, he's dead, so his wife talks on it. So it's like Dan O'Bannon's journey to write Alien and Ridley Scott's journey to direct Alien and some of the themes and the like and people really pulling it to pieces like, well, here you see where Dallas stands up and he walks the other side of the frame. Now he's with the women who are the scientific characters here versus the working class men who actually have it right, but he's now not siding with them anymore. It's just genius. I'm like, no, it's not. It's fucking boring.
That's a review. That's actually not a documentary. It's a review. This is my opinion on this.
It's picking, like, it's getting all these, like, there's podcasters on it. I don't know any of the names.
That's fucking low rent.
it really was. It was a really low rent documentary.
Yeah.
Which just, I was bored to tears by halfway through it, but I completed it so I could talk about it today and warn everybody else off. If you're a fan of Alien on Aliens, just don't bother.
What's it called?
Memory, the Origins of Alien.
Yeah. Okay. Skipping that one directly. Nice one. My number 7 is a film that I always had a passing interest in, and then I saw it come up on the Amazons. I thought, oh, what the hell? Give it a try. It's called Runner Runner. It's actually got Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake in it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's about, and also, Gemma Arterton.
Yep.
Can't say that was a small factor in me watching it. Anthony Mackie, a couple folks like that. Anyway, John Hurd. I like John Hurd for some reason. And Justin Timberlake plays this college student who's like basically he's online poker playing, and he's using that to try and fund his tuition.
Right.
But then his game goes bust, and he's like, "This isn't right. I think I've been cheated." He goes face to face and travels to like San Cabo. I can't remember one of those places. To you know one of those like extradition type countries in South America.
Okay.
And he goes to confront Ben Affleck, who is the owner of this online poker thing, and he's a billionaire, and he's like fucking whatever, this and that. And it ends up being kind of a gangster story, right? But Justin Timberlake, as much as I enjoy his music and his dancing skills, he is not a leading man. Right. He's not actually, it just seems like a bitch whining a little bit, and that's the thing. He's, for this character, he needs to be a strong kind of, I'm massively competent, but it doesn't come off like that, and I think that's why everyone shits on his acting. Unfortunate, because, you know, go ahead, try and do as many things as you can. He's just not that good an actor. All right, and Ben Affleck's great, though.
It kind of falls over on his shoulders.
I believe so. And Ben Affleck's a second lead. He does a good enough job, but it's a basically shit movie. Oh, so don't watch
it. What year was this from?
2013.
Okay, never even heard about it.
I know. And there's a reason you haven't heard of it. Yeah. It's because it's kind of not great. It's not shit, but it's not great. So okay. Yeah. Runner. Run away.
Disappointing, clearly, for Wayne. And my number seven, I can't say this one was disappointing. I knew what this was going to be just by watching the trailer. It's from this year, 2020. It's called Force of Nature, directed by a no-namer, Michael Polish. Is this on your list?
It's on my list, and it's really high.
That means your list is god-awful.
Oh, it's fucking shit.
Or
it's bullshit.
Because this is budget straight to video. Okay. I was basically going to say, Mel Gibson, if he wasn't already, he has now officially graduated to the Nicolas Cage school of I'm just going to go in anything.
All right, keep going.
This is so paint by the numbers, predictable and how it's going to go.
Tell us what
apart from how confusing it is at the start. So basically, it's about a gang of thieves
yep.
who are trying to get some artwork from, well, eventually you work out, from the room of a dude in this apartment complex.
And the gang of thieves headed up by Angel from Dexter.
Yes. So Day, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
I do. It's just, why it's not, David Zayas.
That's
yep. Yes. So, meanwhile, pitted against him is Emil Hirsch and a woman named Stephanie Kayo, I think, who are...
Emil Hirsch is like a burnt out, not burnt out, but like cop. A cop of the past.
Yep.
Right?
And she's a fresh-faced kind of rookie, sort of almost. And they go over to clear out this apartment in the middle of a hurricane.
Everyone has to evacuate. They're trying to, their job yep. is to get people out.
Mel Gibson won't go.
Right, because right. he's an old cunt.
And his daughter is Kate Bosworth, and she's a doctor or something along those lines.
And also married to the director, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nepotism is alive and well.
Yeah, these things.
Anyway, it's a low budget, you know, one location, diehard ripoff, which is way, way shit. And has not a single moment in there that I was like, oh, this is cool or enjoyable or anything. And Mel Gibson was like on auto fucking pilot, just being a racist prick in this movie.
He was a grizzled old man.
Yeah.
He was a grizzled old ex-cop. I didn't mind it, man. I didn't mind it.
Go on, tell us
so
why.
Check it out. So Emil Hirsch, right? He plays the cop. And look, don't get me wrong. He plays some bonehead plays. There's one stage where he's being shot at, like he's hanging from a scaffolding.
Yeah.
And there's two guys shooting at him. And he manages to rattle off like a few shots and kill one of them, but doesn't kill the guy next to him, which would have solved all their problems. So he just doesn't do that. I'm like, hey, Emil, why don't you enter the clip? I don't know. Right? Anyway. Things like that happen, right? But I enjoy that. Look, it's definitely, the budget is small because it's just basically one apartment block.
Yep.
Apart from a few exteriors. There would have been a bit of money involved with all the rain and all the flooding and shit like that, but not that much, right? So I did, however, like the fact that they had to go up there and then these bad guys come and they have to fight their way out of the building and Mel Gibson gets a little bit all like fucking, I know a building, I know a, one apartment where there's heaps of guns, we're going to go down there. And then he puts his fucking... Oh.
That's right. I forgot.
What?
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Please, go on.
Terrible of you. There's a random character who has some kind of beast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Please.
And again, you knew exactly how that beast was going to come in. You don't even know what... I'm not even going to spoil it. The beast will come... You'll finally find out what it is in the very last scene of the film. I'm just like, what the fuck were they thinking?
No, this development where there is basically someone who keeps a beast of some sort in his apartment, right? It doesn't make any sense, all right? It doesn't make any sense.
So random.
It's really weird, right? And it just serves as a moment, I guess, in the script. I don't know, right? But that is weird, and it actually made me go, why was that part of the script green? Like, what does it do?
Why didn't I get rid of that?
I figured out what it is.
Go on.
We're talking about it. You and I are talking about it. It makes this a slightly different movie from...
A worse movie. Because it's so fucking dumb.
But it's like, I don't know what it, I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm not saying it's great, right? But I think I may have enjoyed the movie slightly better because of that stupid development. Oh, I don't know if it, again, it wasn't good, but I enjoyed it more. There's a couple like that on this list. Like, I got that. So, right. Yeah. But it's, I didn't mind Mel Gibson's, you know, performance. The shit that happened to him wasn't necessarily one way or the other, but Kate Bosworth, she's nice. I liked the rookie cop girl. She was like, it was okay.
All right, there you go. Wayne thinks it's okay. I think it's pretty shit.
Okay. Fair enough, though. I still don't recommend it.
It's not something you're gonna.
I don't recommend it.
You don't recommend it.
No,
okay.
But it's okay.
Yeah, like it's a 2-star for me. Like it's a high 30s. Is what I'd score it.
Yeah, I'd probably be giving it just slightly under a pass. Anyway, nice one. Okay, cool. My number 6 is again on Netflix, and it's Murder Mystery.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've this seen, everyone, I've seen it. Have you?
Yep.
Ages right, so ago. It's Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston and Luke Evans. Listen to this cast. Gemma Arterton again. Don't know how that happened. David Williams and fucking Terrence Stamp, man. Mm-hmm. Terrence Stamp is in it, right? So I'm like, what the hell? So I watch it, okay? And essentially, it's about this couple, Adam and Sandler and whatever Rachel's name was, and the Spitzers, I believe. And he's a policeman and she's like a hairdresser, and they basically get sucked into this world where Luke Evans, this rich guy, invites them on his yacht, and they see this big family where, you know, Terrence Stamp is this billionaire and he's going to tell everyone that their fortunes are not being left to them in the will, but then he gets killed. So now it becomes a murder mystery thing. Now, it is not good. It is not wonderful.
No,
I did
not.
Laugh 3 times though, all right?
Okay.
Having said that, because it was set in Monte Carlo and this and that, this had a bit of budget, this movie. It actually was quite good to watch. Like, it was actually quite... I enjoyed this more than any of those other things. Though those other movies may have been technically, I don't know, bigger budget. I'm not sure what it is, but this one was more enjoyable than watching those annoying motherfuckers in these other movies. So that's why it's number 6 over here.
Fair enough.
I did sort of like it a little... No. I didn't mind it as much. There you go. How's that?
Yeah, my memory is it's a straight 2.5-star film. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's nothing good about it.
Yeah, but
it's not reprehensibly bad.
I expected it to be reprehensibly bad. I believe that may be why it's here.
Right, and up against something like The Wrong Missy, clearly this is a clear
but see, I expected that
superior
really,
film.
Really shit. Yeah, there you go.
My number 6 was a bit of a disappointment as well. Still not recommending it, though the background to it is intriguing enough. It's called Honey Boy, and it's directed by Alma Harrell, and it is written by and stars Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, Honey Boy.
Yeah.
All right, what's it about?
It's basically an autobiographical film. It follows him as a child growing up with a father who was psychologically and physically abusive.
Oh, autobiographical to Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, so he wrote this when he got basically arrested and sent to whatever detox center.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do your detox here, you'll go to jail.
Yeah.
So it was like his 3rd time he was arrested or something for drunk and disorderly and doing all that crazy shit that he was doing. And so he wrote this movie as part of his therapeutic process and then got it made. So he handed directorial duties over to a friend of his.
And he's in it?
Yeah, he plays the father.
Oh, that must have been tough.
So that's quite interesting.
Fuck, that must have been tough.
And the kid in it's like 12, give or take. And it starts out really well. Like all the money's in the couple of early opening shots, which are really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes this very intense sort of character study drama between this dysfunctional relationship between his father and the son.
Did you like it?
It was okay.
It was okay.
By the end, I was legitimately bored though. Like, we're just seeing the same thing over and over again. He's trying to come to peace with it through his therapy journey in the detox center with Laura San Giacomo from Just Shoot Me. She's his therapist in the film as well.
It's been in a while.
So yeah, actually you're right. I hadn't seen it in a long time. It's fine. He's good in it. The kid's good in it as acting. So if you want just a great acting film or a good study of people who are good at disappearing into their roles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably a film for you.
But the pacing is an issue?
It's only 90 or 5 minutes, I think, give or take. But even then, I was like, by an hour in, I'm like, okay, I'm seeing the same thing over and over, and it's not really advancing anything. I don't see, obviously, even though his father's still alive, it must have been very interesting for him to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And they did the whole, you know, photos from his actual childhood through the end
credits. This is a shot across the bow, if you ask me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So, apparently he does support both his mum and his dad in terms of their finances and whatever. So he's on a better relationship with him. But anyway, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not sure I'm recommending it yet. No, I'm not.
Not recommending it?
But unless you're really into that kind of drama, then give it a shot.
Cool. My number 5 is a movie called Palm Springs.
Oh.
Did you see this one? I thought you might give
it
one
of these. Are you trying to tell me, Wayne, that Force of Nature is a better film than Palm Springs?
Yeah.
You are unfucking
Wait, you like this one?
Palm Springs is great.
Okay, well, let's talk about this, okay? Palm Springs.
I am stunned.
I think, okay, well, look, we'll talk, all right? Palm Springs, people, has Andy Samberg in it and Kristen Milioti.
Yeah.
Right? And she ended up being the mother in How I Met Your Mother in the final season. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it seems to be this wedding and it's out in,
Palm
Springs, of course. Yes, it will be Palm Springs. Kind of in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, the girl meets Adam Sandler, who's like Andy Samberg, who's doing a speech, yada yada yada. They hook up, yada boom, good old. They're about to do it, and then Andy Samberg gets shot by an arrow.
You're probably going too far into the plot here.
I probably am. Long story short, this is like Groundhog Day, except it's not Groundhog Day. It's a wedding in the middle of nowhere, and it's basically these two people trapped in this time loop where they have to live the same day over and over and over. And as you get through the movie, you find out where they actually both woke up and how that complicates things, and do they get together, and this kind of... And it was... Here's the reason that it's 5, not 4, right? Is that
worse than Force?
I think it's slightly. I didn't enjoy it as much because.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry to make this the theme, but I found that woman fucking annoying.
I didn't.
I did. Her fucking annoying fucking face. That's what happened with me. Like, she was the least annoying of all the annoying women I've talked about today. But I'm not saying all women are annoying. I'm saying these are annoying female characters that I have encountered in the last week or so. So,
all of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
I think you'll find it's a perfectly sound argument. But yeah, I think in the end, it was a pretty good movie, but it didn't stick the landing for me or something. I was unhappy with bits of it. I was happier watching Force of Nature, which is my number 4.
Unbelievable.
Than this one. So yeah, I'm completely behind
that.
Other than
my disdain for Wayne's rank ordering here, I'm not going to say too much more about it because there's a bonus episode coming out later this week where myself and Jason from the Binge Movies podcast talk about it in great detail.
Wait, you really like this?
I dug it.
Do you recommend it?
Oh, yeah. If I was putting this in my order of films, it's my number 1. It's so much better than Force of Nature in every way, shape, and form. I would encourage you to listen to our discussion.
Well.
In particular, Jason's take on it, and you might actually appreciate this film more for that.
Probably.
Now, I'm also on, I'll take this opportunity while we're here, I'm on the Binge Movies podcast this week, in fact, the next 2 weeks as well, talking about a whole bunch of really shit films in the episode called WTF Films, where we binge 5 WTF movies. They're all, virtually all canon films, all 3 of them are canon films, and 2 of them are musicals. So you want to hear me have to sit through and talk about musicals? That's the episode for you.
I'm surprised you like this so much, Paulie.
You can hear how much I like it. This a few days after this drops will be the bonus episode.
Question for my own curiosity. You put this movie, you put it next to Groundhog Day, which is better?
I like Palm Springs more.
Fucking bitch. All right. Fine. That's Paul's
good. I haven't seen Groundhog Day in a long time. Maybe I need to revisit it. But I like the mechanics of this film a lot more. And I think this film is way funnier than Groundhog Day.
This one still doesn't make sense.
I disagree.
What? But anyway. All right, wait.
This one all works. All right. As opposed to it being an act of God or some bullshit like Groundhog Day, there's actual science. Pseudoscience.
Oh, piss off. There was a... All right. Well, okay. We'll talk later. All right. Yeah, but,
all right. Off mic.
And I said, there are some great things about this film, and I actually do kind of recommend it. I actually go, yeah, go ahead.
And therefore, Wayne also recommends Force of Nature.
I do.
Just so
I do, Slurry.
I'm pretty sure that's changed since we were speaking just a little earlier. But anyway.
Fuck you.
My number 5 is, to move on from that controversy, is just, have you seen Aliens?
Yeah, man.
Do you want to watch another version of that in 2020?
Sure.
Which has got,
wait a minute,
the
maybe.
Girl from Twilight.
Who's that? Kristen?
Yeah, Stewart.
Yeah.
Yep. And TJ Miller. Ugh.
Oh, what a if dick. Only he was on a cunt. Yes. I found his stuff funny in the past.
Absolute cunt. And yeah, the French dude who's married to Monica Bellucci, Vincent Cassel. Yep. And it's basically that. They're underwater and immediately shit goes wrong in this underground cramped environment where they're miles and miles under the water. The thing they're on starts to spring leaks and they have to escape before they all get crushed by the pressure. And then they have to travel across basically virtually the ocean floor to get to somewhere else that can get them out. And along the way, they start running into creatures.
And how did you feel about this?
It's not very well shot. It's quite confusingly put together. You never really get a sense of where you are in time and space. Everyone's fine in the movie except TJ Miller, who is inherently annoying, and not just because of how he is in real life. It's just, eh. And if you've seen Aliens, you've seen this done several thousand times better. So there's just no need.
They must have messed up because this sounds right up your alley, son. Mm-hmm. I can see why you picked it up. What's it called?
Underwater.
And
it was like, originally we were slated to go and see this. We didn't quite sneak it. It was dropped to January.
I remember.
Dropped into January cinemas, and it made nary a splash. No pun intended.
Do you have a rough score?
Yeah, 47.
Oh, so you're not recommending?
I'm still not recommending this movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm not recommending Palm Springs either. I actually was thinking about it. I'm not.
Wow.
I know. It's not quite there. Only
by comparison, I give it a hearty recommendation. Everyone should go and see it.
Remember, a movie's got to be like 75 and above before I recommend it. If it's good, right, it's still not a recommend necessarily. So there you are. All right. Well, my number four was goddamn Force of Nature. So why don't you just come back to us? Actually, you're going to love
Jason, the rest I hope of you're my listening list. To this.
You're going to love the rest of my list. Oh, this is going to be great. You guys are both going to love it.
My number four is a foreign language film from Germany. It's called Balloon. It details one of the most daring escapes from the Cold War. So I think it was the late 60s. Or no, it was in the 70s sometime. Sorry. Two families basically combined together to home make a hot air balloon to cross over from East Germany to West Germany and get away from the...
And how did it go, Paul?
Communist government running there. I'm not going to spoil it.
I know. But like,
but it's a matter of history, what happens really? To them. So this is based on a real story. It's generic in the end, I think it's probably fair to say. But interesting and intriguing, and you do come to care about these characters and you want them to survive. And it's pretty competently put together. So, yeah, as much as by the end it's not overly amazing or heart soaring, it's good, it's competent. I'd recommend this if you're interested in these kind of historical drama thrillers.
Good. Paul's jumped over the edge. It's recommending.
That's where I'm crossing over.
Fantastic. All right, now my number three is a movie that I always also considered watching but didn't really know what it was about. It's called Peppermint, and it's Jennifer Garner.
Oh my god,
yeah, I liked this show. I'm not saying though that it's good. I'm saying that it's enjoyable.
Better than Palm Springs.
Yeah, it's better than Palm Springs. I had a better time than Palm Springs.
Please.
Absolutely. Everyone, Peppermint is basically Jennifer Garner doing Alias again, but in a nastier way with more guns and taking shit out.
It's garbage.
See, what happens is her husband and a kid get gunned down by some bad guys. So she goes away. There's nothing new here. She goes away for a while, comes back having learned to whoop ass and get shit. And then she goes to take out all the bad guys that tried to fuck with the family. Goes all the way up the chain, ends up destroying a whole drug ass place like fucking cartel, right?
Amazing, right?
It is. What I will tell you is this. Now, there's nothing new with that plot, and you could have made the call as you walked in, right? Absolutely. However, I did enjoy the action scenes. She does a bit of gun-fu in this movie, and it's actually kind of quite satisfying when she takes motherfuckers out.
Twice.
Really? Yeah, but who knows what you were doing that day, man.
Twice.
like I said, it's not groundbreaking, but I liked it. I thought it was quite good.
Wow.
She'll do the thing where she'll bust people's heads, kick their shit, and instead of punching them in the head to finish them off, she'll shoot them in the head. That kind of thing. Probably a bit better than John Wick did it, to be fair.
Fuck off.
In the number two
You're
movie.
Just trying
in the number
to get
two
me
movie. In the number two movie. At least she had varied moves instead of the same one 40 times.
You're a cunt.
You know what I'm saying here?
You're a cunt. I'm now. Just saying. I've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
I'm just shocked that there's so many shit-ass balls for you on a top 10 last
fun
time.
Fun to watch. I had some time. She's a lovely, muscular, young thing.
Jennifer Garner. There's nothing wrong with Jennifer Garner, and I think she is one of the better physically capable action heroes of today.
Absolutely.
Just she's in a shit movie.
It wasn't shit. It was just not new. It was a by-the-numbers movie, but the action was fine. And really, aren't you? Isn't that all you're there for?
No,
or maybe you're looking for a bit more plot, I guess.
Generally, or you know, some deeper thematical.
Oh no, no,
thematical.
That's,
I'll make that word up.
Thematic. Yeah, yes. No, that's not this movie at all. But like, I had. This is the level of fun. I enjoyed this more on like the scale than the other ones.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. It's all about the fun.
Well, here's a big shock. My 3, 2, and 1 are all pretty dark films in different ways. My number three is an Australian horror movie which recently came out onto Stan, and it made a little bit of a splash. I think at Sundance at the start of the year. It's called Relic. It's directed by Natalie Erica James, I think in a feature film debut, and it stars Emily Mortimer and Bella Heathcote, who's sort of a semi-famous kind of, I don't know if she's next model or not, but she's been in a few acting gigs and the like, and Robin Nevin, who's an old school Australian actor. So it's three generations of women, And basically, the film opens in a rural kind of country home, and an old woman is sort of seeing something in the dark, and then cut, and she's disappeared. And then the daughter and the granddaughter come to the house to lead the search for her. Police come out, start looking for her, blah, blah, blah. And they start to notice that there is something wrong with the house. There's some sense there's something else there as well.
Some supernatural shit?
Yeah. Yep. But it's also, this film is a very hard metaphor for Alzheimer's. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a lot deeper than it first looked. The first half of the film is very atmospheric and it builds up. It's a very slow burn, but the dread, feeling of dread builds nicely. I don't think the film sticks the landing. I think it lets itself down in the third act when things go, you know, as far as this film goes anyway, crazy. It's not as impressive as the first two acts of setting up for it. So it kind of drops the ball a little bit in terms of spiking it for the touchdown, if I can belabor a really bad metaphor.
Okay, fine.
But there's enough here to definitely check out if you're a horror film fan or if you're a fan of Australian cinema or you just want to see whether or not you can be disquieted by what's going on the screen, because in the end, I don't want to spoil it. I'll just say there's more than you would think at first glance, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's as grandiose as it needs to be.
That's something. Do you recommend it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything I'm recommending.
Okay, cool.
But this is a cautious recommend. If you're not, and I wouldn't recommend this to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's much here for you.
That's sort of the inherent rule with recommending. It's like for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, fine. Here's where I start recommending.
Okay.
My number two.
Look, it's 2020,
man. It's been a great fucking year. All right, so my number two is actually one of the Countdown podcast listener community folks, and I'm so sorry I can't remember your name, but you actually recommended this. There's a dude, and the movie's called Buffaloed, and it's okay. Got Zoe Deutsch in it from the Zombieland thing. Yeah, okay, I love her. It's about her living in sort of Buffalo, New York, and she came from a sort of underprivileged kind of existence, and her whole thing is that she wants to grow up to be rich using her, you know, she's got a sharp mind, a sharp mouth, and she wants to get into an Ivy League university and try and figure out how to do this stuff, but she ends up getting caught up in the world of debt consolidation sale type thing in America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got like Jai Courtney in it, and it's still not bad.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Still a recommend.
He's probably fine when you didn't expect him to be in the movie. When he's in one of the lead roles, that's when things go south.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And she actually does like, basically she tries scalping schemes, but what's really good about this movie is that the way she moves within the gangster kind of organization, and she's still sort of this plucky young thing, and she's like, you know, 5 foot nothing and she's whatever, but she is still holding her own as a character, and it's actually kind of good. Like it's not boring.
Okay.
It's pitched as a little bit at the start of the third act, but it still wasn't too good. I'm a really, really big fan of hers. She's Zoe Deutsch. There's no one else in this movie that I could say that you would know. Judy Greer, maybe. That's about it. And
from Scrubs.
Is that her? Judy Greer?
Oh no, you're talking from Halloween.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's it.
Judy Reyes. Judy's,
yeah. But yeah, no, Buffaloed, definitely a fun little watch. Quirky AF,
okay.
I will say.
Sounds interesting.
There you are.
Okay. My number two is one that I would recommend to everyone who likes dramas. So yeah, if you're into any drama, and this is one that is based on a true story, which makes it all the more horrifying, it's called Dark Waters, directed by Todd Haynes. And
Dark Waters. It stars
Mark Ruffalo. And he is an attorney that works for...
Hey, I've heard of this one. Yeah, go on.
Who works for an organization that defends big companies.
Yes, right? Yes.
So goes to the wire, makes life difficult for the little person who's suing a big company and all that kind of stuff, so that they'll just drop it and walk away, or they'll settle for some vastly inferior amount of money. So it's implied, but he's still, right from the get-go, he's a decent enough bloke. And anyway, back from where he grew up, there's a local farmer who all his cattle are dying, and he believes it's because the water is bad. It's been contaminated by where they're dumping this big, huge chemical company's dumping its stuff in. And so he starts to investigate this almost against his boss's sort of wishes. Almost. Like the boss is kind
because
of giving
him... Because he's the defense attorney.
Sorry?
Because he's the defense attorney. He usually protects the
but his
companies.
Boss is going, well, okay. Yeah. And he's played by Tim Robbins, his boss. His wife's Anne Hathaway, who I'm not a big fan of at all.
I'm a big fan.
But then there's Bill Pullman in this movie. Victor Garber from Alias, the aforementioned as well. So... it's got a decent cast, and it follows this over a long length of time, this true story, where he finds more and more evidence and then goes to fight against the people that he once would have been defending, and how it proceeds from there, with some implications for a certain product, Teflon in particular.
Really?
That basically implies that this company, which has been putting Teflon on everything, knows it will kill people in sufficient enough doses, and they don't give a fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Teflon bad?
Yeah.
What do I have at Teflon?
Anyway, point is, it's really, I don't know. It's really thought-provoking, this movie, and it does take you down. It's that little person or people up against the big company, yeah, and you get right behind.
But clearly well handled if you're digging it.
Yeah, it's shot very dark. You might not like it just because it will make you feel bad. It's meant to be dreary. It's meant to be dark.
Yeah, okay.
It's meant to portray this world as being, well, yeah, shitty.
Wow. All right.
That's my number two.
Nice. Okay. Well, this is my number one, right?
Yeah.
Do we do the thing?
Run us back through from 10 through 1. And then just, once again, Marvel where Palm Springs is, ladies and gentlemen.
I think this is totally fine. 10 was the very excellent Mr. Dundee, which was not at all excellent.
Lies.
Lies. Number 9, The Wrong Missy. 8, Desperados. 7, Runner Runner. 6, Murder Mystery. 5, Palm Springs.
Kiss totally, my sweaty totally, balls, totally you
fine.
Fat
Absolutely
fuck.
Fine. I don't know what you're talking about, Willis. 4, Force of Nature. Sure. 3, Peppermint. But 2 is what I start recommending. I don't recommend any of those, by the way.
Yep.
That's right. And 2 is Buffaloed. And my number 1, now this is odd, all right?
Okay.
This is a fucking dark-ass movie, and it's harrowing. And I only saw it because Kevin Smith said it was good, all right? And it's on Amazon Prime, and it's called 7500.
Oh, now, yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joe Gordon-Levitt, right. So now, basically, this movie... I liken it to be the phone booth of the aviation movies, okay? Because it's all shot inside the cockpit of this plane, and it is not... It's a German film, right? German director, anyway. And it is not shot like an American film. Because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a co-pilot, and there's a German pilot, and they have to go in the air, and basically a hijack happens. Joe Gordon-Levitt, one of the stewardesses, is actually his baby mama, but no one really knows.
Okay.
And it's all about, all happens in the cockpit, and they film it in this real matter-of-fact way. It's boring. It's like sitting there going, they're just like, okay, what are we going to do now? Yep, okay, checking this, checking that. All technical shit, right? Mm-hmm. But because you're in the cockpit and you're sitting behind the two pilots, it's like you're deadheading in the cockpit watching them do it. The film lets you see an entire takeoff. Of just really boring, nothing happens.
You're selling it so far.
I know, but this thing, it's, when I say boring, it's just like you are there and you are present, and I stayed in there, which means I guess it's not boring, but nothing seems to happen, and then when something happens, holy shit, this is a really harrowing fucking movie, because all you can see is Joe Gordon-Levitt and these guys reacting in the cockpit. People die. He looks at the screen and he can see what's happening in the rest of the plane. That's all you see of the rest of the plane, which means it's very, you're trying to notice what is the curtain? Is someone behind that curtain? Right. Shit like
so
that.
It's very claustrophobic.
Very claustrophobic, but oddly great. I will tell you this, at the end, it does drag a bit.
Okay.
So it doesn't quite stick the landing, as you say, but this is the
no
best
pun
movie.
Intended.
Yeah, there you are. I think stick the landing means when you're gymnastics. Is that right?
Why not? We can also stick a good landing in a plane, damn it.
You're right. So it's actually fucking hard to watch, but it is my number one because it's the finest made and the most effective movie I watched in my last 10. So this is it. 7500, by the way, that's the code for hijacking.
Ah, yeah. Okay. All right, sounds good. I might check that one out on that
it's,
recommendation.
It's, again, hard to watch, but there you are.
My number one, after I reveal my 10 through 1. Here we go then. So Scoob at 10, Follow Me at 9, Don't. 8, Memory, Origin of Alien. 7, Force of Nature. Force of Don't Listen to Wayne. 6, Honey Boy. 5, Underwater. 4, Balloon. 3, Relic. 2, Dark Waters. And my number one is a film I just finished watching a couple of days ago. Watched it over a couple of nights because I started watching it late and thought I'd just go, Force of Too Good. I had to turn it off. I want to come back to it and preserve it. It's called The Outpost.
Bring it. What is it?
The Outpost is directed by Rod Lurie, who did The Last Castle with Robert Redford and James Gandolfini years ago.
I remember that.
And this is basically based on a true story on the Battle of Kamdesh in Afghanistan, or on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this small American outpost was positioned there to negotiate with the locals at their surrender. So if any of you are involved with the Taliban, hand over your weapons. The US government will pay you money for you to lay down your weapons, stop fighting with the Taliban, and let's sort of move on. This was 2009 this took place.
Okay.
And the problem is they're sorely outmatched. And they're in a valley with big mountains on either side, and the Taliban would just come wandering over and just take pot shots at them every day.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes, as the film progresses...
Is this real?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It stars Clint Eastwood's son, Scott Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
And Caleb Landry Jones, who's the guy... Who's in the redhead dude in 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, their real estate agent who gets thrown through the window. And
oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise's brother-in-law in an American-made movie who was the stoner who causes it. So
he's
a very distinctive looking dude. He's got very bright blue eyes. He's got his head shaved because he's a Marine in this particular movie.
Mm.
Sorry, a soldier in this particular movie. And it's harrowing. Oh, Orlando Bloom's in it. And Gibson, Mel Gibson's son's in it as well.
Shit.
So it's no one really huge, but enough.
Orlando Bloom's pretty big.
Yeah. And he's the commander of the base.
Wow, he's playing commander now.
And it builds up really well. Like it does a great job of doing the minutiae of day-to-day life as a soldier and that death could be just around the corner with how they bond and whatever. And it's hard. Initially, it's hard to tell them apart. But by the time they really are in the shit, in the last 45 minutes of the film, basically is this huge running battle with a huge superior number of Taliban coming over and trying to swarm the base.
Wow.
You kind of know most of them. Some of them are still a bit interchangeable, but you've got a sense of most of the big characters and you're rooting for them. They really are against. But it's not glorifying war. Here's the difference. It's really, like I said, showing them a new show.
Showing
how ridiculous this was. They should have got out of there a long time before they did. Because
what happened? Just like, I don't know if it's like giving away, but like, so in my head, the Americans put this, you know, squad or whatever there in the middle of fucking like being
hostile
outnumbered.
Environment, yeah.
How'd that happen? Like, how did they do that?
I guess they had a whole bunch of these around trying to undermine the Taliban in this particular way.
Bad strategy, people.
This is a particularly shit ass spot for it, and eventually it all comes a cropper. So
okay, the outpost.
It's well worth a look. It's pretty good. Like it's, you can tell it's sort of low budget in some ways. Like some of the digital effects when they're flying choppering in, terrible. Like, that doesn't work. This was meant to go to cinemas. It got released to, you know, that whole extreme VOD.
Yep.
But I think it's worth it. Worth it to, if a couple of you can sit down and watch this movie.
Okay. The Outpost. Cool.
In a pretty average year, very average year,
it's
let's be honest.
It's going to be like that for a long time.
Sadly, this film, which would otherwise have been like, oh, that was fine, is like, oh, that was pretty good. Because I'm so used to watching shit.
No. Everything's like, relative, bro. Everything's relative.
Contextually, this was a great film.
Yeah, absolutely.
In any other year, it'll just be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. That's our top 10, last 10. Nothing more to say about it. No honorable mentions, obviously. Let's get into a few of the reviews that you have in our Pop 10 segment.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Duty from Shaken Not Nerd, good friend, patron to the show.
Duty.
Watching Veronica Mars and initially thought it might not be for me. And my God, I was wrong. Outstanding show, but hate that the intro song changed at season 3.
Very interesting, because I did the same thing, except I fell out.
Oh dear.
Perhaps I should fall back in.
Yeah, we've got nothing else to watch.
Sure.
Should definitely give it a bash. Dan, the aforementioned from Netflix and Swill, said, Bad Black. Not as magnificent as Who Killed Captain Alex, but Uganda cinema is going places.
Really? Interesting.
Brad from the Cinema Guys went old school. We just watched The American President for the first time. Excellent film that, although feels very 90s, there's a lot within it that's very relevant to 2020. Yeah.
I love that fucking film. It's a rom-com, but it's the president. Boom.
There you go.
And Ed Benning.
Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald, our good friend G-Banger, reviewed But I'm a Cheerleader from 1999. A good film. Young Michelle Williams holding me hostage. Gerald, that sounds wrong on so many levels.
That's what it sounded a bit weird. So it's okay to address people as young. You can't say young twice. Like, look at those young children. That's fine. Look at those young children is wrong. So you can't say young at all, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Joey from So Is It Podcast had a very succinct review of Warrior Nun on Netflix.
I almost watched that for this thing.
I watched the first 15 minutes
and?
Of it and was like, oh, this might have some potential. Apparently not. Listen to the So Is It Podcast for the full review, but basically, Warrior Nun, colon, it sucked balls.
Really? How unfortunate.
Chris Yeaney, high-level patron of the show, good friend, said, Fatal Affair. I think this one was released to Netflix, I believe. I get that Omar Epps' character is psychotic, but he could do way better than Nia Long's character in this suspenseless snooze fest.
Is he saying the woman's skanky? Is that what he's saying?
I shrugged it way there. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's trying to say. Connell McNeil said, Harry Potter series, except for they all suck. No stakes, nothing happens.
All of them?
Well, that's what Connell's saying.
Ooh, fucking shots fired.
Jonathan Kidd said, finally watch Hotel Mumbai off your mentioning.
Ugh.
Talk about a sphincter tightener.
Fucking A, man. I can't watch that again. No way.
Josh Ragland said, The Hunt. Entertaining, if a little predictable. Fun fight scene between two leads and good message not to let your political affiliation stray too far to the extreme. So I reviewed this one in the last top 10, last 10.
Agreed. Everyone should be a swing voter. Go ahead.
Jake Humphrey. The Hateful Eight Extended Edition on Netflix. Still a fantastic film, and being broken down into a 4-hour long episodes makes the movie extended runtime, easier to digest.
I didn't know that.
Oddly enough, the movie is better as a miniseries.
That makes sense. It's long as fuck.
Giving it 79 out of 100.
Is that on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix
here. I haven't seen it here.
I think maybe it's just an American thing. Not 100% sure.
Nice.
Etienne Fillion-Savé said, First Cow and True History of the Kelly Gang are both amazing. Historical dramas that are visually lush, narratively complex, and with great performances all around. First Cow is more slow and intimate, while Kelly Gang is a slow burn with explosive moments.
Mm-hmm.
Both sound good.
Interesting.
Julio from the Contrarians podcast said, The Platform was so much better than I expected. Clever, gripping, visceral. Please make Wayne watch it.
The Platform.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a Spanish film. I reviewed it for the last top 10, last in lockdown edition. I thought it was decent.
Yeah, all right. Worthwhile.
Daniel Lowe said, Saw the Kill Bills for the first time, and I thought they were pretty lackluster, to be honest.
Woo.
That's some
balls. Woo, shit. That.
Although, to be fair, I kind of agree about number two.
It was just such a different movie that everyone wasn't expecting.
Not as good as the first one. And last one here, first time contributor, Paul Stead, or Steed said, he had two here, I'll read. Pride, 8 out of 10. Gay and lesbian supporting the miners' strike. Fabulous, funny, and moving based on a true story.
Cool.
And Hachi, A Dog's Tale, also 8 out of 10.
Oh, the Hachi one?
Yeah,
oh,
another God. True story about the devotion of a dog to its owner. A nice, easy watch.
Easy? I would be... That just sounds like crying. I know the Hachi story, and I'm crying.
I'm not crying, you're crying. I don't know. Thank you so much to everyone who gets back to us with their feedback. We really, truly do appreciate it. The show wouldn't be the same without your contributions. All right, Wayne, that's it for episode 278 of The Countdown.
Yeah.
How do listeners get back in touch with us and let us know or give their feedback on the show / give their feedback on topics at hand?
Google The Countdown Podcast for all our socials and every damn thing, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show on podbean.com where we host. Check out ccradio.com.au for other great Aussie podcasts that we're in a network with, including Fangirling. You heard Rachel a couple of weeks ago.
That's loving the Fangirling.
Sure, good stuff. And finally, the Facebook listening community link is in the show notes where you want to bounce off other fans of the show and indeed when we wade in there as well.
Most def.
All right then, Wayne. What are we doing next week for episode 279 of The Countdown?
279, we're doing... Top 10 movies that fooled us.
Ooh.
Fooled us at the end. We're like, or whenever in the movie, we're like, holy nipples, didn't see that coming. Or something
exactly
similar.
Exactly the way everyone thinks. Holy nipples. That wasn't on my radar.
So, ironically, yeah. Nipples always are. Sorry, go on.
So that's what we're going to be doing, covering some, well, moments that completely caught us unaware, films that caught us unaware in those particular moments.
Hell yeah.
So it should be a fun one. We hope you'll stick around or come on back for that countdown. But for today, we're done. Thank you so much for joining us. Actually, one more thing before we do wrap up.
Yeah.
I did say at the top of the show that we're going to announce the next competition.
And yes.
So here we go. The competition this week is for the patrons of the show.
If you're not a patron, just, you know, spend a buck or two. Yep. You're on board. You get all the access to our nasty stories, bunch of other shit.
That's early. A high level.
Shit, I don't know.
That's the high level. No, you don't have to spend that much. But look, if you're a patron of the show, we're going to a draw. We'll work out some kind of weighted average. So if you're a top level patron, you get more votes or more chances to win down to the $1 patron. Still a chance though. So it's everyone's in it. If you're at all interested in joining along to get a chance at the prize pack and hear some of that extra content Wayne's alluding to, check out the link in the show notes to the Patreon page.
It's a bit of fun, and it's nasty.
Some of it is.
I apologize.
You should. Actually, so should I. What am I talking about?
We're all both filthy frogs. All right.
All right. That is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, truly appreciate it and hope you'll be back next week for episode 280. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck off.
Because you really, really are.
See ya. Yeah! Oh, fuck off! Click off now. Click off now, people. Click off. Save yourself.
Catch you next week.
See ya.